Hello, my name is Niall Savage and welcome to Series 2 of Conversations with Auditors, our podcast where we look in depth at some of the issues shaping the audit profession. Today, we're dealing with a very exciting area, which is technology in auditing and just technology in general. And I'm delighted to be joined by two of our leading lights in this space, Lucy McCauley, who's a digital consultant and leads out on some exciting work recently around the artificial intelligence space. And of course, Maria Flannery, an audit partner in our financial services practice and our lead in crypto and blockchain. Lucy, Maria, welcome.
Thank you.
Just to start off, what's hot on the agenda right now for business and technology? What are businesses talking about? What are they grappling with? And what are they saying?
So from our most recent CEO Outlook research, we know that Irish CEOs are very much looking at, you know, evolving technology and how that's going to impact their operational growth for their organizations. You know, we're thinking about digitization, connectivity, and that's becoming much more important and certainly came out in our survey much more this year than it has done in previous years. From a global perspective, we're definitely seeing the impact that digital transformation is happening. And the key focus areas tend to be around improved cybersecurity and improved customer experience. Customers want everything in the palm of their hand, you know, and how do we get that information to them in the easiest way possible? And again, our employees are expecting the same. And that's got to be underpinned by technology. You know, and customers are getting more curious. How's that impacting in terms of my sustainability? How is it, you know, getting the information? What am I paying? And where am I getting the value? And that's where we have to think of, you know, our own organizations. How are we getting really efficient? So how do we, you know, make that connection from one area of the business to the other? How do we become more efficient so that we can be really, really competitive? Yeah. And there are some of the challenges that are out there. And definitely technology can make a big difference.
Yeah, it's an offensive and a defensive strategy, isn't it? You need to, you know, you need to enable yourself, but also you have to have it or else you're just going to lose.
Exactly.
Good. What about your world, Maria? What's on the agenda in business when it comes to technology?
It's a really, really interesting time for business and technology, because you've had really the likes of the blockchain technology, AI, both coming to the fore at a really, really similar time, where they're starting to be both embraced in a much more wide scale manner. Yeah. So, I mean, crypto and blockchain, they haven't had an easy couple of years. Mm. It's been rocky, which was always expected. It's a volatile asset class. however, the events of 22, you had Terra Luna crash at the start of the year, FTX downfall at the end of the year. 23 wasn't much better when you had the likes of Binance and its CEO get charged with money laundering, and then the founder of FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, he's going to get potentially up to 115 years in prison for fraud and conspiracy. So all the negativity the criticism that's always been there around crypto, it's certainly manifested into a very difficult period during those 2 years.
Is it dead?
It's survived, and so 2024 was off to a booming start. The first couple of weeks of 2024, the SEC approved 11 Bitcoin ETFs, exchange traded funds. And it's funny because the SEC, the chair of the SEC, Gary Gensler, has always been a fierce critic and very vocal critic of crypto, describing it as the Wild West of investment, but. So for the SEC to approve 11 Bitcoin ETFs, and these are really big institutional players, the likes of BlackRock, Invesco, Fidelity, big names in the market who launched these Bitcoin ETFs, it's added legitimacy to the environment, to the crypto environment. And that's going to be interesting because it goes beyond just cryptocurrency, but the potential use cases beyond just Bitcoin exposure around the area of forms of payment and the use of cryptocurrency, the use of the underlying blockchain technology. So that's going to have potential huge impact on business in general. But for the moment, the Bitcoin ETFs has had a significant impact on the asset management sector.
Does regulation move it into the mainstream and away from sort of what I would consider a very youthful investment?
It certainly helps.
Yeah.
So the events of 22 in particular, they have driven a huge regulatory focus. It really pushed up the agenda of regulators. And you now have regulators and legislators asking the question, how do we protect investors? And whereas regulation could stifle growth in other sectors, regulation will actually likely boost growth in the crypto sector. Because crypto depends on wider market adoption to succeed. And so the approval of 11 Bitcoin ETFs, it lends a legitimacy which will attract more investment, will attract institutional investors. Before this, there's never been a way to gain exposure to Bitcoin inside a regulated product. Yeah. So that's going to be very interesting in terms of how the in terms of how it evolves in other jurisdictions, for instance, the EU and the UK, because they won't want investment flows. And there is still an appetite for crypto investment, but they don't want those investment flows to go across the big pond.
The UK has a policy; it wants to be a crypto hub.
It's very much pinned its flag to the mast on that that it wants to be a global crypto hub. The EU is a little bit more cautious, but it has new regulation MiCA coming down the line in the next 12 months, and so that's going to be it's going to be interesting to see, do they develop legislation within each jurisdiction. Now that the SEC has done first mover on this.
And the fact that it's Bitcoin, does that mean rivals are going to try and aspire to get to the same level, or is Bitcoin now out on its own?
Bitcoin has always a little bit been...
A bit higher.
...been on its own. It tends to be where Bitcoin leads, others follow.
Yeah.
There are new cryptocurrencies being developed and being launched every day of the week. I think one of the interesting areas is going to be around the use of the blockchain technology itself. There are great use cases for blockchain technology beyond, I suppose, just Bitcoin itself. And we are seeing a lot of really large banks which are investing hugely in developing their own blockchain technology internally. And they know that it's going to create efficiencies. It's going to likely reduce costs. And there's the expectation from investors and from clients that they're at the forefront in benefiting from this new technology that's available. So the use of blockchain is going to be very interesting. Yes. In the asset management world, we're seeing a lot of tokenization, conversations around tokenization and tokenizing real world assets, such as the likes of real estate or shares in an investment fund. And that's going to be that's probably going to be the next big piece in the asset management sector when it comes to blockchain technology, because there are efficiencies to be gained, and it's potentially also going to attract a younger generation of investors who are much more tech savvy. They expect a tech driven investment product. And
is that a retail investment, or are we talking younger people working institutions?
We're talking about retail investors. Yeah. So, the younger generation now, they're much more investment savvy. They're going to be the retail investors of the future. But there are barriers to investing in traditional assets, especially illiquid assets, either where you've got very low minimum or very high minimum subscriptions, or it's very difficult to invest in illiquid assets such as real estate. So fractionalizing these assets would allow them entry where they wouldn't have if it was a traditional setup.
Is it still seen as, or can it still be, the great disruptor of financial services?
Yeah, I think it's already disrupted financial services. As I mentioned, the banks that are investing a huge amount of money to get to the forefront of using this technology, there are use cases beyond just the investing in Bitcoin and the blockchain technology. The European Central Bank and the UK are very much down the exploratory path about launching a CBDC, which is central bank digital currency. And this would be essentially a digital form of euro or sterling, which would be backed by the central bank. And this is very different from your likes of a Bitcoin, where it's not backed by any central bank. So this would be a huge development if they did develop these CBDCs. Tokenization itself would likely remove traditional intermediaries from kind of the traditional securities market. Okay. And also you have what are termed smart contracts. So these are self-executing contracts which are underpinned by blockchain technology. And smart contracts are considered the cornerstone of decentralized finance. And the whole idea behind decentralized finance is that it operates independently of traditional financial systems, traditional intermediaries. For example, you have the likes of peer-to-peer lending, and that's where you're lending peer-to-peer rather than involving a central intermediary of a bank. If that was to take off, that would have huge implications for the likes of a traditional lending bank.
Are we seeing, similar to what I hope we'll do with an AI, potential restructuring of the job market, therefore? Is this something that could, you know, really disintermediate some of the core pillars of what's currently the financial services market?
Yeah, I think the blockchain technologies, certainly it's the way my side of the house is going to impact the say, employees and the skill set is around the skills that they have when it comes to technology. Yeah. So not just companies, businesses need to have a very skilled, people who are very skilled in technology and have a good background and a good standing in technology. Probably from an AI perspective, yeah, you're seeing the other side of it in terms of some of the tasks that are being completed by people, yep, and how that's going to maybe change the workforce.
Yeah, it's definitely going to change. You know, you have the repeatable tasks now that potentially people are spending their time doing that actually AI will support that to move to, you know, a more automated landscape. So yeah, from an employee kind, yeah, of experience, from a job perspective, yes, it's likely to change it. And I know that feels a little bit scary, but actually if you start to remove some of those repeatable tasks, there's huge opportunity to spend more time on value add activities. Now, that doesn't take away the humans will still be very much involved. So, yeah, you know, your decision making, your actual review, making sure you still have that human touch, human in the loop, as we talk about in terms of the empathy, the intuition, the understanding. So how do you actually do that overarching review and make sure, you know, that you have the right governance,
yeah,
in place?
So similar pattern between the two, yeah, though, you know, new skills.
Yep.
Could potentially mean we have to restructure the way we look at jobs. Maybe some of these jobs we don't know about yet.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a whole heap of skills that are coming through. You know, there are skills that we don't even have, you know, yeah, the fully thought through definition of.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely evolving. And even if you look on a, you know, a 6-monthly, yearly basis, there are skills that we didn't know existed last year that are certainly now in place this year.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, it's quite an exciting opportunity when you look ahead. What are, you know, university is going to be teaching? What are we going to learn?
Yeah.
And it's not just the, you know, the, I suppose what we might think of maybe hardcore development skills that,
yeah,
sort of go with the techies maybe, but actually it's URI that they'll need to be able to understand it, certainly challenge it and question it.
Okay.
For sure. I know. It's an opportunity for us all to learn.
just to close out on blockchain, what does it mean for the audit and assurance market in general? Is this something we have to get grips with? Can we get to grips with it? Are we already getting to grips with it, or where are we?
Yeah. So I think the audit landscape has changed dramatically, not just because of blockchain, but also because of
yeah,
AI as well. And in terms of what Lucy is describing as some of those manual tasks, and they're now filtering down into how we audit as well.
Yeah.
We're, you know, auditors are embracing AI technology to perform higher quality audits that are, you know, are more efficient, and getting rid of some of that kind of manual labor that we would have had historically. When it comes to blockchain itself, that will be really interesting, because as our clients and as businesses digitize, we then obviously have to keep up as auditors, and we're very much moving from being the pen pushers to the code crunchers.
Yeah.
And it's really important that we have auditors who have the understanding of technology and the tech skill to be able to keep up with our businesses, our clients, which are digitizing. Blockchain, inherently, it's known for its traceability, mm, and it's one source of truth. And so that's going to be quite interesting in terms of how auditors then, you know, audit the blockchain,
yeah,
ledger,
yeah,
where you have transactions which they can trace through in real time. And so it's going to create, I think, a lot of efficiencies, but the tech piece and the understanding of the tech piece is going to be quite interesting. When it comes to the accounting frameworks, it's probably just worth mentioning that crypto itself, when you move beyond blockchain, crypto itself as an asset class, there's still no clear definition,
right,
under the accounting frameworks.
So quite there.
Yeah, there's guidance been released by FASB, by IFRIC.
Yeah.
They're slightly different.
Oh,
you could end up between a financial asset and a tangible asset, you know, an inventory. The one thing they're both clear on is that it's not cryptocurrency, it's not cash.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. And that requires still a lot of judgment until there's clearer guidance, clearer rules coming into those frameworks. You know, there's still accounting judgment is always going to be needed. And I think when it comes to these technologies, it's great because they're going to reduce some of the daily tasks or the boring tasks that maybe we might have been doing 20 years ago as auditors now. But it's so it's going to make those reduce those tasks and make audits much more insightful and interesting. So I think it's good for audit.
And Maria just touched on it there, but like it's just the technology is there, but the regulation isn't there yet. Are we in the same space with that in AI? It kind of feels like
maybe
we're waiting
for
the regulation.
Maybe not quite, but it's interesting you touch on like one source of truth and, you know, data quality is a huge part of that. So in the same way as kind of what's the process for actually auditing, you know, there are a bit, you know, CEOs, if you're running kind of a business, if that's really where we need to start to look at, okay, so what are your policies and procedures? How do you make sure that that one source of truth is actually the one source of truth? So your data governance, your quality, what's your tech? What do you kind of put the policies and procedures around that to ensure that when you are pulling that data, it's correct? And I guess the regulation, yes, it's coming from an EU perspective around AI. It's not here yet, but it's on its way. Definitely banning some of those types of AI, you know, like your social scoring systems or, you know, the video technology in real time in terms of out in the public. But, and then there's the next level in terms of your high risk AI, you know, where you really need to make sure you've got the technical documentation, everything written down, and, you know, the equivalent of a risk management procedure in place or a risk management team. So it mightn't be your auditors, but actually what's your equivalent of a risk management team in-house that makes sure that you're set up so that if somebody does come in and question your policies and procedures, you're in good shape.
And I mean, we touched on it with jobs, but you mentioned their videos, and I think there's some incredible stat that half the world is going to vote in elections this year. Like, that's part of the negativity around AI. Will regulation be in place, or how are we going to cope with this? Because it does feel quite dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot obviously going on in the world at the moment. And the other thing I would say is the AI Act is only one piece of legislation that's on its way. There are others that are in place at the moment that'll certainly look at the, you know, the social media side of it as well, which, you know, I guess it all interlinks, and that's what's fascinating about technology. It's not one thing on its own. Actually, you know, you walk into a shop, how you manage your business, everything starts to cross over. So it does make the regulation complex, but there's a huge opportunity then, you know, for us to really take advantage of the technology, but done within the right framework.
Are you comfortable we can get comfortable with what AI is producing, or will there always be a viral element that we need to be?
I think we always need to be, I mean, my view would be always need to be a little bit cautious. We need to try and stay ahead of it, make sure that we have the policies and procedures in place. The other thing is, I guess, it's a bit like everything. Technology feels a bit scary, or, you know, a concept feels a bit scary if you don't know and understand it. So I think we all have a duty of care for our own employees to, you know, how do we get trained? How do we understand a little bit more? Be curious, learn about it. I think there's a lot of narrative out there about the negative, but there's a lot of benefits as well, and there's huge opportunity for us to explore.
Yeah, and maybe we'll move away from the negative focus on some of the positives. What are businesses using AI for right now? Like, how are they harnessing the benefits?
Yeah, and I think Maria touched on some of it in terms of the, you know, how we can look at huge, you know, volumes of data and actually really get the insights out of it. So that might be from your context, but also if you look at, you know, how are businesses, you know, supporting their customers? How do we really understand what our customers wants and need? And sometimes we often find that even we don't realize our own wants and needs from a customer perspective, but yet businesses have that information and data and be able to make sure that they're tailoring the products that are right for us.
Yeah.
The other place you might see it is, you know, in contact centers, for example. Yeah. So how do we get, you know, in a better speed of resolution of our queries through chatbots?
Yeah.
And they're evolving and improving. You know, they're not the same as they were 6 months ago or a year ago. They're much, much better, and they will continue to evolve. And the other thing is just that straight through processing in terms of automation. So joining up the different parts of our business, how do we make it more efficient, you know, leaner, operational savings, which, yes, I guess there's always that challenge of how do we make our businesses more efficient?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, listen, we all have to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
What's next for AI? Where will it go, both from a business perspective, a social perspective, and is there stuff that's coming that, you know, we really need to be on top of?
Yeah, I guess, you know, the technology that we're aware of is the one that's here and now. Yeah. You know, it'll continue to evolve, and there's huge opportunities and potential. I guess I would say it's not necessarily thinking of the individual bits of technology in separate.
Yeah.
It's actually looking at, right, okay, how does the whole transformation piece, you know, and landscape evolve? So very much going, right, okay, how do I evaluate a piece of technology that's coming in? How is that going to impact and improve my business? So rather than thinking them in separation, actually, how do you make that whole transformation plan and a roadmap that is better for your business?
Very good. And for blockchain, where are we heading?
For blockchain, it's I think within the asset management sector, it's going to be very interesting. I think that's where we'll probably see the immediate impact. both of, you know, clients wanting direct exposure to cryptocurrency, but also the tokenization of traditional assets. That's going to be the next big thing. But I think what's really interesting is the overlap between blockchain and AI, and in terms of how one's strengths complements the other's capabilities. So for, as Lucy mentioned, that one source of truth in blockchain will help with data provenance when it comes to AI and help solve some of those problems over the data that's been used to generate AI. And similarly, the intelligence that comes from the AI technology will benefit the likes of blockchain network when it comes to smart contracts and developing smarter contracts using the blockchain technology overlapped with AI. So it's a really interesting time for both.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Lucy and Maria. I feel more educated about this and certainly a little less fearful. And thank you to everyone who decided to take the time to tune in and listen to us today. There are plenty more podcasts to come and plenty more content we have available on the web. But for now, thank you very much for dialing in. And if you have any further questions, don't hesitate to contact Lucy or Maria at any time. I'm sure they'd be delighted to take your call.